Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network, a place where mothers and daughters come to nurture their relationships. How is your mother-daughter relationship? If you're not living your best mother and daughter relationship, welcome to the show. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Now, here's your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher, or you can just call her Dr. Bessie.
Good morning and welcome to the Mother and Daughter Roundtables. I'm your host, Dr. Bessie, sitting in with mothers and daughters around the world. Good morning, mothers and daughters out there. And of course, you know, we have fathers and sons that listen in too, because they want to know how to have the best relationship they can with their wives and their daughters. You know, some girlfriends, like, you know, we listen just to hear what you all are talking about so that we can learn how to deal with our women friends. So it's amazing. And I like that when men tell me that their wives have them to listen, or they listen because they're interested in how they can have a better relationship with their wife or their daughter, especially when the wife and the daughter is having difficult times in the family, always arguing about something. And then you got your men folk in the family that's just wishing that they could get it together. Like, every time you turn around, your mom and your sister, they're always fighting about something. They can never get along, bickering about something. And we as mothers and daughters don't realize the effect that we have on the family. You know, if you a daughter that's always fighting against the mother, and the mother's trying to tell you something, you don't want to hear it, and you know, got too grown, and all of a sudden you don't want the advice, then she's going to try to make sure that she gets her point across. You're going to try to make sure you get your point across. But then you got other people in the household. If there's a father and son there, they trying to just live. Like, wait a minute. Yeah, we don't deserve this. This is not a part of our journey. This is not what we want to do, you know. So you have to be mindful that you're not in this by yourself. You're not in this by yourself. You have a whole group of people that lives in the house with you. Sorry about that. I was trying to clear something up that came up on my switchboard here. But in the meantime, what you want to do is that you want to just say, you know, hey, we got other people. We got people living here. We need to resolve this issue. Nobody wants to hear you fuss and fight all the time. So makes all the difference in the world on how we do things. I don't know what's going on with the switchboard, but I can tell you right now, we're not having this mess this morning. This is not going to happen. Just want to make sure that we are being heard. Cynthia, text me. Well, she probably can't hear me because I didn't clue in. Well, she probably can. If you can text me, Cynthia, please. And this is a good show today. And anytime we get into something that is going to help you look at how you're being and who you are, then the enemy wants to get busy. He wants to get busy. He wants to make sure that you don't get this message. And that's not going to happen. You're going to get the message today. So we're going to keep doing this until it does what it's supposed to do. In the meantime, what I was saying was that with the family, it's a disservice to the other people in the house when we don't actually do what we're supposed to do and try to have the best environment for the family. It's just all about us, you know, our point of view, what we want to do, mother, daughter, mother, daughter, mother, daughter. And then what happens is that when we do that, it messes the son up, because when he get in his family, he's going to treat his wife. He's going to treat his wife the way that he see his mother and his sister and as being treated in the family, or the way he see his father treats the family. So we are training everything that we do. We are training up our children. We are training up. And when the husband gets upset and says, you know, okay, I'm out of here, I don't want to do this no more, then you think somebody done you wrong. Somebody's done me wrong. He left me. But we have to realize sometimes we're just too bossy. We are just too bossy. Wanting to tell somebody how to live. Can't let them make decisions. We're going to run their lives and our life too. And then you wonder why you have such a difficult time. Because you're trying to run two lives. God did not give you two bodies. He gave you one body and gave you control over that one. And think about it. Most people that are trying to run two bodies, they are always in turmoil. They're always upset about something because you're trying to do something that God didn't ask you to do. God didn't ask you to run two bodies. He only asked you to run that one, and you work with him one-on-one. Not just because it's your wife, she's your wife, or you are her husband, or she's your daughter or son, doesn't give you the right to control somebody else's body. I know when they're children, we steer them, raise them to, you know, give them the best advice that we can, go before God for them. But when they become adults, you have to value their decisions. I don't care what you think. You can give your advice, but you have to allow people to make their own decisions. And you have to be okay with that. And I find that a lot in my adult mothers and daughters relationships, the mother just want to take over life. The husband wants a man cave or space that they can go and close the door because they just want to get away from you. Think about that. When people are running away from you, you need to stop and think. Why are they running away from me? Ha, hello. You're getting on the nerves. You're doing something. You're bossy. You're trying to control. You know, we have got, and I know this. I'm not telling you something I don't know. I was raised in a way that my mother was in control. Daddy gave a control of the house. So, you know, we are used to running the household, making it happen. If it's going to happen, man, we're going to make it happen. And that's what we do.
Hello? Hello? Dr. B? Hello, Dr. B? Dr. Fletcher? Hello? Hello?
Cynthia, good morning.
Hello. Yes, good morning. How are you?
Yeah. Oh, man. Over here dancing? Dancing. You got me jumping over here trying to, you know, cut this message off. I'm like, no, you're not doing that today. Mm-mm. The message will go through. It's going to happen today. Could you hear me when I was talking?
I could hear you until you tried to bring me in. And you cut out for a brief minute.
Okay, then. I'm going to finish up what I'm saying, and then I'll come back and get you. I just want to make sure we connect.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
All right, so what I was saying, audience, was, and the Lord wanted me to say this, and I'm just not going to let the enemy take that time away from it. we, as mothers and daughters, have to be more conscious of our role and the power of our role and the effect of our role to our families. Fathers and sons are delicate. They don't have that built-in thing that God gives us to nurture and to take care of. You know, they're not built that way. So when we try to either nurture them too much, you know, moving into their space, they're going to fight back. Because we're just so busy. I was telling someone, I said, we are raised to nurture. We are raised to take care of. That's our nature. Because we are baby makers. You know, we take care of the babies and making sure they're okay. Before they can talk, we have to be able to read them. So when they get up a size, we still can read them. But when you're reading them, it's how are you delivering the message. And then as they get older, you read a little less and a less and a less, because God is not going to let you just invade on somebody's privacy. You know, he's going to help you out while the child is growing up, giving you all kind of discernments and talking to you about it. But at a point in time, that person actually kind of branch out where you cannot, even though you can feel something as a mother, but you can't read them like you could when they was like 1 or 2 years old, or, you know, little babies, because then your power is not that strong to control somebody else's life. So all I'm saying this morning is that it came to me, as mothers, we are fighters. We're determined to do certain things to make it happen. And we'll take those fathers and sons and drag them on because I said so. And that was one of the things I did not like when my mother would say, because I said so. Because then I'm saying, then you control, not a little girl, and I was thinking this, so you're going to control my life and yours, and you're just going to tell me because you say so, and then I'll have no other input, or if I give the input, you already made up your mind. And sometimes that's because what? She really don't know how to give it to me in a way, and she get aggravated because I keep coming at a different angle, and I was not an easy child. I would come at you till you give me the answer. And so what did I get when I had Angie? The same thing. And to this day, I just can't give her an answer and think that she's going to walk away, because she's going to challenge you. She'll go look it up, come back, talk to you about it. And sometimes now I know what my mother went through. I'm like, okay, girl, now it's getting on my nerves, because she going, that ain't right. She don't care. She's going to come back with a fact. So anyway, that's the beginning of the show today is basically, you know, we have got to be more careful of our power and authority in the family as women. And those women are daughters, and those daughters sometimes become mothers. All right, that's it right there. So I'll go right back in here. Good morning, Cynthia. How are you doing?
Good morning. I'm good. How are you? And good morning, audience. Good morning, Deborah. All is well, Dr. Fletcher. I dare not complain. I like the opening. It's good stuff. Good stuff. It's real.
Yeah, it is. And Deborah's not with us today.
Okay.
Yeah, Deborah had a conference or something at her church today. So.
Okay. Awesome.
Okay. How was your week?
Okay. Awesome. My week was good. Can we say prayer before we get started? We never said prayer last week. I thought about that.
I know. I thought about it when I got off. Oh, no. Okay. Well, that's why I'm here. Remind me, because the Holy Spirit tells me to stop talking. I just get to talking. So go ahead. Do prayer, please.
Dear Father, we just come before you as humble as we know how, thanking you for this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Father God, we come against the prince darkness and principalities that's trying to hinder the show this morning. And we just thank you, Father God, for that we have the power to rise above the influence of the enemy. And so, Father God, thank you for determination. Thank you, Father God, that we are determined to get the good news out. The good news is that we can be all right if we learn to be all right. And when I say all right, it means being in the Word of God, only doing what He tells us to do, only going where He tells us to go, and only saying what He tells us to say. So, Father God, we pray that something will be said, that somebody will walk away with a new perspective about life and about how to be. And so, Father God, we stand on your word. Ezekiel 16:44, as the mother, so is the daughter. And so, Father God, we want to raise up a whole new generation, but we have to rise above the influence of our own past. And so, Father God, with that, we say thank you for choosing us for such a time as this and for such a task as this. And we pray that something will be said that will edify you, number one, and then that will be the start of change for someone else. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And my week was good, Dr. B. My week was good. It was productive. A lot of things going on, just trying to stay focused. And it's been good. It's been good. I dare not complain. And no. It was, you have to fight the voices in your head. Other than that, my week is good. I'm just trying to stay focused and trying to trust God more. What about your week?
Same here, honey. dealing with all the conversations and, the things that is coming up, trying to tell you, well, don't do that right now. Maybe you might want to wait on that. Nah, let me go on and do it because God told me to do it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And walking, my thing is that I'm more conscious of walking by faith. That's, when I got my word for the year, when I asked God for the word and said live, so that meant to me, in everything that you do, make sure there's life in it. Live. Trust me. So I said, okay. So I was reading, and it says walking by faith, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to just not pay attention, and I'm just going to go on as if it is, and just walk by faith, and that, don't worry about what, because I was doing something, and the person asked me, well, oh, you have the money to do that, and I said, no, not presently, but I'm not worrying about the money to do it. It will show up, and that's what God has always done in my life. It'll show up. If he tells me to start looking for something or to do something, every time the money shows up. So I said, I don't have to worry about it. And of course, in business, people think that's crazy business strategies. What's your budget? That's the first thing people know. What's your budget? And if I tell you my budget, then your price is going to be 5 cents off of my budget. So no, you tell me what you charge and don't worry about where I'm going to get the money from or what my budget is. What is your price? And then God knows what he want to work with. And that's the way I'm running it this year, and just strictly focusing on that, on every decision making, not everything that I'm doing. I'm just walking things out. I'm doing something today. I'm just going to go do it. And I'm not worrying about it. It's not my job to worry about how it's going to get taken care of. Just go check it out and see it. And then say yay to God or no to God. And say, well, what do you think, God? Is this it? When I say no, I mean, sometimes we think that we're hearing God and we might miss him. And if you'll know when you get to the place or see something, it should give you some feeling in your spirit. And if it's not, if it don't come up, that's the way it is for me, I would say for me. And if it doesn't come up in my spirit with a confirmation, then it's like, okay, no, God, that's not it. All right, so that means I'm supposed to keep on looking. So that's what I mean when I say no, because you just keep on looking and you keep going. Everything I've gotten is just like that. When you tell me to do it, it's showing up. It's right around the corner. So it's a good week. I cannot complain like you. Everything is going good. It's on target. We got our calendar for next year. It's a lot of work, but we're going to have a lot of fun and in the meantime. So, with that being said, I want to say thank you. Deborah, we miss you out there. She's out there doing. I told her, I said, well, we're going to miss you. I said, but then we have to share the love. let somebody else have a piece of you. We'll go ahead and let you
Absolutely.
Go.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So, anyway, I know she missed us because she loved being on the radio with us and allowing the Lord to use her as well. All right, I'll be right back, Cynthia. Our topic this morning is mothers and daughters do not faint. And that is what I'm walking out in my faith life. do not faint. I don't have the liberty to faint. And fainting is just not what God tell us, you know, want us to do. I'll be right back. All right, audience, mothers and daughters out there, the topic is do not faint. And we've done a topic I know some time ago, but when it came up in my spirit, I was like, well, Lord, we've already done that before. And it was to remind me, what do you mean you already done that before? Everything is worth repeating. If I tell you to repeat it, and I'm paraphrasing that now, worth repeating, the Bible. It's the same Bible verses. It has been in there for over 2,000 years or more. And people repeat the Bible verses over and over again. So topic matters are going to come back because there's something else that I want you to talk about on that matter. You're never going to have any topic that you just says, oh, I done that, and I done it so well, I guess you'd say, that, oh, I didn't. No, it's like a Bible verse. You're going to grow in it. And you're going to learn in it as you go. And I think that kind of fueled the beginning of this show when I was talking about, you know, how we as mothers having to be nurturers and having to, you know, allow people to live their own lives. You know, even our children, we sometimes want to tell them what to do even when they're 35 and 40 years old. We still trying to tell them what to do. They're not children anymore. So that's one thing you need to faint from. Back up from that. But when we come to the topic of do not faint, I'm talking about having faith in God. Mark 11:22. Having faith in God. Jesus said, have faith in God. And if you think about it, those are four letters. Four letters. Not letters, I take that back. Four words. Have faith in God. Four words that the whole Bible, all the Old Testaments are testaments of people and their relationship with God and how God brought them through, how God saved them in times and came when they needed it, how God showed them how to use the sacrifice of the blood of animals to atone for the atonement of the people for an entire year, you know. And then he says, okay, and then there was the divider. Right in the middle of this life that we live is a divider. And right in that divider there is have faith in God. See, certain people in the Old Testament could talk to God. It was only a chosen few. And that's why they wore Moses out. Well, Moses was just completely worn out. He doing all he could do, trying not to faint. And he's just like, Lord, these people, they were about to get him to faint. And he almost did in a certain situation. But you can only take so much when you are working with people and they are pulling against you. They, you know, they don't realize that, you know, they didn't realize Moses was their doorway to God. So why would you want to mistreat him when he's there standing in the gap and talking to God one-on-one personally, out loud to save you? But they murmured and they complained and it was nothing right, and Moses this and Moses that, and you know, even the sister talked about him and talked about his wife, and God's like, oh, you know what, I'm gonna shut you up and I'm gonna put you out in the field with leprosy and I'm gonna show you what it feels like to be out there by yourself. And it wasn't for Moses to go to God and God have mercy upon her. So right in the twist when it turned and God says, okay, and I and this is me paraphrasing this from the mind of what I'm thinking and what I feel in my heart, God is saying, okay, I done tried man. And I done tried to work through them, and they did the very best that they could. But in some way, you know, they faint. They got tired. They got discouraged. And they would come to God. Think about it. Moses got angry and hit the rock. When Jesus told him, God told him to do something else, he just got angry. It wasn't with God. It was the people and the pressure. He hit the rock, and God said, okay, just because of that, you know, you're not going to see the promised land. And out of all the work that he's done, because what we allow people to make us faint. And then there's others in there that wanted to give up. Just wanted to give up. The one that, can't think of his name right now, that was in the whale, the belly of the whale. It'll come to me in a minute. And he was determined, I am not going to go to Nineveh. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. Those people, and he started talking about those people. And we got to be very careful on how we talk about people. That was a part of my conversation this week with someone. You know, we want to judge them. We want to judge them according to their belief, or judge them according to what people say they believe, or, you know, and people may say something today, but their heart can change in a second. They can meet somebody, they can say, I'm an atheist, and been an atheist all their life, don't even believe in God. And go on, and they think that, you know, okay, I'm right. Just think they're as right as you think you are as right in believing in Jesus Christ. So how are you going to judge them? Because they're saying, I don't believe it. You're saying, I believe it. So what? You cannot change, make a person change their mind. But you can show them through your testimony, when you don't faint and you get through a situation, then you can show them in your testimony, God. They will see God. Most people see God when it's a physical miracle. When someone dies and come back, and the doctors are saying, I don't understand it. See, now you can see it. Oh, my God. But I got one greater than that. It's when something happened to your body. You don't believe in God. But the minute that body has an attack, the minute something comes upon the body and you don't have nobody you go to, your friends can't help you. Dr. Bessie can't pray for you enough, can pray with you. You go to the doctor's telling you, well, there's nothing I can do. Now you're standing out there in the wilderness by yourself. And then your first thing going to come to your mind is God. God, you're going to call on God. I don't care who you are. You're going to call on God. You could be anti-God for years, but the minute something happens to that body and you find out man can't help you, you're going to go to Mark 11:22. You're going to have faith in God. All of a sudden, you believe God. You're calling on God. So those four words are the cornerstone to the Bible. And I always look at them as everything right in the center, in the core of the Bible, and everything around them, around those words, is built upon that. And then it came into the New Testament. And then God says, you know what? I've tried man. They did the very best they could. But look at the lineage. Look from where they came. There's three men that is always referred to: Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And you wonder why it's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And then Jacob's children, the children of Israel. And it's something precious about that. It's something that they were so close to being perfect in the will of God. I would say it like that. that God would recognize them, those three generations there. And still to this day, he does not want you to mess with Israel or the people of Israel. And you have to ask yourself, why? But even at that, he had to do what? He had to create an image of himself through the purest of a female, unstained, unblemished, to come through. And most people don't realize she was a young girl, around 13 years old. Most people think that Mary was an older woman, and most people think that Joseph was a younger man, but it was not that. Do your history, go back and look. He was an older man, but he came through a young girl before she was blemished, before she was tainted mentally or physically, and created a version of himself that he knew, a new that would not faint, that would go through the demonstration of the atonement of the blood of that human to save the world. So if he used the blood of animals for the atonement of humans, then it was like, if you go back and you read Genesis and Exodus, and you get into how they build the tabernacle and how you had to do blood sacrifices and stuff like that. And people sometimes think to this day, you know, we still got to do that. No, it's over. Jesus was the last sacrifice. So it's his blood. And that's why you hear people say the blood of Jesus, because it's the blood, it's the atonement in his blood that covers everything for you so that you don't have to faint. But in order for you not to faint, you have got to believe in Mark 11:22. You got to have faith in God. You got to believe what God said is true. You got to believe what Jesus told you. I do what the Father tells me to do, and I say what he tells me to say, and I go where he tells me to go. And he demonstrated that. He wasn't quick to answer. People would ask him questions 2 or 3 times, and he would look at them. And just imagine standing there, and they're looking at him, do you hear what we're saying? The Pharisees would go, answer us. And he would just look at them, because he was waiting for his Father to tell him what to say. And when he said anything, it was always in such a way that if you were not connected to God, it would be very hard for you to understand it. And that drove them almost crazy, because they couldn't understand how he was speaking. They couldn't understand what he was saying, and so they fainted. And when they faint, they got frustrated, and then they said, you know what? We're going to have to kill him. We're going to have to get rid of him, because he's driving us insane. Don't make no sense. He's running around telling people things that he's God, and he does what God said, and he's the Son of God, and you know, and God and I are one. When you look at me, you see God. You know, and they thought, he's got to be crazy. He's leading the people away from Moses. And Moses done this, 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 and that. So they really was worshiping Moses. They wasn't worshiping God. They were worshiping Moses. And so he's trying to tell them, I'm here with a new thing. This is not about Moses. So when he spoke to them in parables, they had no idea, because they wasn't connected to God. And that's why he kept telling them, you're not of my God. And then if we're not of the same God, then we will faint, because we won't have enough word in us. We won't have enough wisdom in us. We won't have that conversation with Jesus and God and the Holy Spirit on a daily basis. And if you don't have that, that's your strength. That's your strength, the word of God. When the enemy comes up against you, all you got to do is just repeat. It is written. It is written. And that's what Jesus kept telling them. Every time he said, it is written. And what does he mean it's written? He's talking about the Bible. The word of God is written and it is already established. So you can't come tell me this when I know what my father said. And that's how you keep from fainting. And fainting means to not quit. Fainting means quitting. To not faint is to not quit, is to keep going. Regardless of what it looks like, you have to keep going because you say what? It is written. And whatever is written, God has given you a vision. God has given you something in your heart to do. It is written. Yes, you got to go through the wilderness, come out through the river. He opens up the Red Sea. He lets you through. You're going around the mountain. And you wonder, what type of life is this? But it's all based on one thing. Those four words, have faith in God. No matter what you're going through, as long as you have faith in God, you're going to come out like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that was put in the fire. They came out with no smoke on their clothes. They came out not even burnt. And the king says, I put three in there and I see four. You know, how can this be? Because God says, I'm with you. Once you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you have a shield of protection. And all you got to do then is have faith in God and know that he will walk me through this. I will not faint. And when you go to Deuteronomy 20, I've been reading Deuteronomy 20 for so long. I can't tell you how many years. And I haven't read it in I don't know, months until a couple weeks ago it came back and the Holy Spirit reminded me, whenever you're in a battle of any kind and your enemies is far greater than you and you see, you know, it says chariots and horses greater than you, and you come out and you see it, oh my God, I got more enemies that's against me, and how am I going to do this? And God said, hey, fear not, do not worry, and do not faint. When you look at them, don't even tremble, because I'm your Lord, your God, and I go with you, and I fight your enemies, the battle of your enemies, and I, the Lord God, will save you. And every time I would get in any kind of things where I'm like, oh, Lord, I don't know how this is going to turn out. Oh, God, they're trying to say this or somebody's coming up against me. I would go to Deuteronomy 20, 1 through 4, and I'd read it. And I'm telling you, those things would disappear. God would fight that battle. And all of a sudden, it's gone. How many times? So, you know, you got those testimonies. You have them. So no matter what you're going through right now, just say, you know what? I'm looking at my history. He brought me through. He took care of it. He fought the battle. When I didn't know how I was going to get out of it, he had a way. And the most amazing thing is that when God bring you out, you dance and shout for a few minutes, and you're all happy and everything's just, oh, Lord, everything's just good coming up roses. And you believe in God. Oh, yeah, it's good. But the minute that dries up and you get another challenge, then you go right back like you didn't forgot what he did for you. Why can't you live in that spirit always? Why you got to be going up and down, fainting, getting up? Faintness every time you go down in depression and let Satan steal your joy. That's fainting. You're going to be happy one minute, and then the next minute, you're not happy, you know, and you're just waving to and fro. And God said, a person waved to and fro gets nothing from me. And you wonder why things don't happen in your life? Because what? You're going back and forth. And God just going to look at her. He's going back and forth. We've all done it. But it comes a time you have to learn. And says, you know what? I'm going to deal with God. And I'm going to stick with God. God said it. And that's my truth. I was listening to a gentleman, and he was talking about fighting Satan and having to deal with it. And he said, you know, your weapon, he said, take your Bible. And when Satan get on you, you just take your Bible and start swinging it like a sword. He said, I'm telling you, he will flee from you faster than lightning. You know, just like, boom, he's gone. And I thought, okay. And I actually did it. I was doing something that was always yakky, yakky, yakky in my head and my intro conversation, yakky, yakky, yakky. I got my Bible and started swinging the Bible and all around my head. I just moved the Bible all the way around my head in a circle. I'm telling you, that conversation ended right quick. I was like, okay, see, you got the Word of God. You got the whole Word of God in that Bible. And he can't go against the whole Word of God. You know, we may have a Bible verse here, there, and the other, and thinking, okay, using my Bible verses, I got several that I'm doing now because I'm working on something and believing in something. And so you get Bible verses, go to Google, what did God say about this in the Bible and your situation, and Google, bring up Bible verses. Do it on your phone. You get your Bible verses and you start reading on that particular situation. You know, you have to deal with each situation separately. You can't just have a blanket prayer. You know, you have to be specific with God. This is what I'm dealing with now, God, and I know you know this, and this is what you said in this area. And so when you say this in this area, I'm going to stand on this and just keep saying what he said. That's what Jesus did. Keep saying what he said, and it shall come to pass. Nothing can stop it, because he said, my word will not return to me void. So when you get your Bible verses, that's what you do. But before all of this will work for you, you need to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And this is something that I promised God that I was going to do, regardless of where I am and what we do from now on. When you hear this message, you need to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You're just going to come to him and say, Jesus, I repent for my sins, and I ask you to forgive me, Father God, and I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. His atonement of his blood has given me the right to come before you and to repent, to receive Jesus, and believe that he was raised from the dead and he sits at the right hand. Everybody, there's no certain way that you have to say what you say. Follow your heart. People will tell you different ways, but the key is I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And I ask you, Father, to forgive me for my sins. The other part, there's three parts. The other one is, and I ask you to send the Holy Spirit to lead and guide me. That's your ticket in the door to the kingdom of God. Very simple. But when we want something else, we pray 40 hours a day on something. If you want something from God, God, I come to you right now in the name of Jesus. And I need your help in this area. Would you help me here? And I thank you for it, God, in Jesus' name. Move on. I have a friend, and he tells me all the time, you know, we was at Christmas breakfast. It's three of us, me, Robin, and JR, and we've been friends for years and years, about 40 years. But we always have a breakfast Christmas Eve morning. And when we do other things during the year, but that's just always been the thing because I was in Florida for years, and that was our way when I come home. It just became a tradition for us. And he was saying that I only pray one time. I only pray one time. When I come to God, I pray that one time, and I don't come back and ask him about that again. And he said, and it always, every time, it works for me. And we know this. You're going to pray, and then you're going to come back and talk to him again. You done took it back, and then you're going to go back, and you pray again, and then you come back, and you could take it back. Every time you come back to God and talk to him about the same thing you talked to him before, then you are fainting. You're fainting, and then you get yourself up, and you come back. And then you start again, and then you faint, and you get yourself up, and you start again. People think when you faint that you quit permanently. No, you're fainting, and you're getting up, and you come back. Fainting, getting up, coming back. Fainting, get wavering. God said wavering. You can't get that because you're not using the full words. Have faith in God. You're not walking by faith. You're fainting and begging. Fainting and begging. Fainting, begging, crying. Fainting, begging, crying. You will let your heart worry. He said, don't do it. So that's my take on it. And I hope that you get something out of that and that it be a blessing to you. Let's go to Cynthia. Cynthia.
Yes.
You always say that. Yes, it's your turn.
All right. Yeah, Dr. Fletcher, you said a lot. And if you don't mind, I'm going to read the scripture where you came from and my take on it, the scripture where I'm coming from. Dr. Fletcher has asked this audience to have faith in God and what that means in Deuteronomy 20, as she referred to 1-4. When you go to war against your enemies, and that's that voice in your head and anything he throws at you, see, and if you come up against your enemies and see horses and chariot and any army greater than yours, do not be afraid of them, because the Lord your God, who brought you up out of Egypt, will be with you. When you are about to go into battle, the priest shall come towards and address the army. He shall say, "Hear, Israel. Today you are going into battle against your enemies. Do not be faint-hearted." Dr. Fletcher has said that more than once, guys. Do not be faint-hearted or afraid. Do not panic or be terrified by them. For the Lord your God is the one who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies to give you victory. Galatians 5:1-6 tells us this. When we have accepted Christ, it says, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. When he has set us free, and that's the moment you accept Christ, you are set free. Then, and do not let yourself be burdened again by the yokes of slavery, by those voices in your head. You know that it is the enemy trying to get you out of character, trying to get you to fear. Fear not, he says. He goes on in Galatians 5:2, mark my word. I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourselves be circumcised, the heart, change the heart. The heart has to be circumcised. Christ will be of no value to you at all. If you do not allow your heart to be circumcised, again, I declare to every man who lets himself be circumcised that he is obligated to obey the law. We're talking about fleshly circumcision here, what Paul is talking about. But I'm telling you, I heard this week with Pastor Jeremiah. He said the heart is what has to be circumcised if you're going to walk up and have faith in God. You who are trying to be justified by the law have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace. For through the Spirit we eagerly await by faith the righteousness of which we hope. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision or uncircumcision has any value. So in other words, without Christ, no matter what you do in this flesh, it has no value. The only thing that counts is faith express itself through love. And so if we love God, if we follow the word, if we get in the habit of doing what he tells us to do, going where he tells us to go, and saying what he tells us to say, we can be all right in whatever circumstances God allow to happen, because nothing happens without his permission. I'm reminded of Job, that when the enemy came, wanted to attack Job, God say, have at him, but you cannot kill him. He say, have at him. But he was like, no, because you got a hedge of protection around him. If you take that hedge of protection from him, he'll cuss you in your face. God allowed him to challenge Job. And Job stand firm on his faith. He went through a lot of back and forth with the people around him, but he was determined to stand on faith. He even questioned God. And people say Jesus didn't say a mumbling word, but that's not true, because he asked God, "Why have you forsaken me?" When we are in pain, when we are in emotional distress. And it oftentimes is not of our own making. It is the enemy coming at us. But when we don't stand on the word, when we choose to faint because we're tired, you got to ask God, the Holy Spirit, to hold your hands up and not allow you to faint. That's been my prayer this past week, this past 21 days. I've been fasting and praying, and I've been asking God, hold my hand up. Don't let me get tired that I walk away from the very thing that you've asked me to do. Because you do get tired. Let's be honest. You get tired of back and forth because it's a battle. And where the battle is in your mind. It's that he ain't coming at you. He's only an intimidator. The enemy is an intimidator. And if he can intimidate you to the point where you don't trust God in the situation, you will faint. Because it gets hard, and we know it's hard. Dr. Fletcher and I have been doing this ministry from the time I met her, and she was doing it from 1994. But we're still standing without a budget, despite what people are asking her. That ain't, like she said, that ain't our business. We have walked this thing out in faith. We continue to walk it out in faith. We're trusting God because he said, if you do not faint, it shall come to pass. And so now it's going to be up to you, mothers and daughters. Are you going to listen to the people around you, your circle of influence? Are you going to be totally determined to trust God for what he's purposed in your heart? He got us. We just got to walk it out. We just got to keep our hands up, even when we're tired. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you. And you can only stand on God's word if you know God's word. If you got to grab anything when you're going through, grab the Bible, like Dr. Fletcher said, and sit down somewhere and stand on his word. Remind yourself what God has said and just stand on it. We don't know when it's going to happen, but we know it's going to happen because God said his word will not come back void. And he's not a man that can lie, nor the son of man that should lie to his people. And so I am determined. We are determined in this ministry. We don't care how it looks. We keep it moving. We keep it moving in God's direction according to what he would have us to do for his people. And like Dr. Fletcher said, and this is my last thing, if you have not confessed Christ, you will not have what you need to stand when the enemy comes at you. And he's coming at us every day, all day. I was thinking about the young man this morning who lost his life this week. And just like Jesus, God was with him when he went through and when he was crucified. Jesus was right there with that young man when those men beat him to the point of death. You got to know, no matter what you're going through, Jesus is with you. But if you don't know him and you haven't confessed him, then you're on your own, boo. So let's have faith in God. But you can't have faith in God if you don't accept his son. You can say you have faith in God if you haven't accepted Christ. But according to scripture, he is the way to God. So you might want to check your facts if you say you believe in God and not Christ. Thank you for allowing me to share, Dr. Fletcher.
Wow. Good stuff. It's amazing. I got so much out of that. It's just amazing how we know, and even when we are Christians and have been Christians for years, it doesn't really matter if you don't have the relationship with God. But even when you have that relationship with God, he's going to come after you even more, because he's going to set, as God says, send 7 demons to try to guard you, because you know, you're the one that's going out, like with the mission that he gave us to go out and help heal the families, and helping them heal, we're helping heal the families through the mind, through the intro conversations, changing, bringing awareness to their thoughts, and you being dealing with people that are substance abuse and domestic violence. And I mean, we've all got our niches, and the combination of people that he brought to us to help bring a complete message and the pieces to do a complete picture for the Matriarch Now community, I'm just sitting back and watching it and going, look at God, because he's going to get this message out, and families are going to start changing. People are trendy, and he's going to go right into their territory with a trend. Oh, they doing it? Oh, well, I'm going to do it. And they're going to realize something as they come into that space of Matriarch Now, the community, the whole concept, and then they're going to realize the value that the mother and daughter has in the family. They have value, but they don't realize how valuable they are. So this whole message is about helping you to realize who you are, to have a relationship with God, and being able to say, you know, it's hard, yes, but it's harder if you're out there without God. A person can go through a difficult time, but there's a certain amount of peace that you don't even understand yourself. I'm telling you, Cynthia, sometimes I look back and I say, you know what? Wow. It's like a peace that if I didn't have God, I know I'd have been somewhere crying in the corner. You know what I mean? I'd have been, as the old people used to say, fretting all day. But with God, it's just like I see some of the things around me, and I hear the enemy tell me, oh, this is going to happen to you, and that's going to happen to you. But in my heart and my spirit, I'm at peace. It's the most unusual feeling, because I don't have any fear. I'm at peace. I just keep going every day, even though battle keep coming my way. I'm like, you're talking to the wrong person. I'm not. You need to go to God, because I'm not my own. But I have a conversation all day long to make it in this world. And you better know what you're talking about.
You got to stay in the word, because the word is the only thing that makes him flee, because he's like a little net. We learned this from one of our board members, guys, that they used to anoint the sheep, because God, Jesus is our shepherd, and they used to anoint the sheep. So this is an analogy. So the gnats and stuff wouldn't keep flying around them and cause them to be fighting whatever, however they act when just think about flies and stuff, or and gnats and stuff flying around your ear, and you want to hit yourself. But they put oil on them to keep them away. And it's that's the word and laying hands and putting oil on you. It is to keep laying hands and blessing oil is to keep the enemy away. And yes, he keeps coming back. He's like those gnats. He keeps coming back. No matter how prayed up you are, he comes right back at you. But when you don't have the word to stand on, because you haven't taken the time to digest and got it in your spirit, he's hitting you upside your head so many times, and all those voices that's going back and forth causing you to doubt everything that God has ever said. But when you don't know the word, mothers and daughters, you do yourself a disjustice, because the reading the word ain't for God. Reading the word is for you, so you can stand when the enemy come up against you. And he's coming. It ain't if he's going to come, it's when he's going to come. And he knows the opportune time to come when you at your weakest and you don't have the word of God. He wins, because you're going to think, you're going to doubt, you're going to do all of those things in that moment, because you simply don't have enough in you, enough Christ in you, enough word in you, Christ's word, the word, to fight him off. I'm quick. I call somebody. I called Dr. Fetcher just this week. We gonna keep it real because he was coming at me. I got blindsided. I had just came out of prayer. Walked out of my office and got blindsided. And the person just asked me one word, and I got so emotional, and I got so mad, I wanted to hurt somebody. Because I got blindsided by the enemy. No matter how prayed up you think you are, he's coming at you. And you got to know the word for yourself that you can shut him down. Because that's the only thing that shut him down. And you got to call somebody when you're struggling. Even with the word, you struggle. So you got to be able to call somebody. And that's how we're losing our children so rapidly today, Dr. Fletcher. Our children, our daughters, they're committing suicide. Our sons are committing suicide because they don't know to call somebody. Yes, you know the word, but sometimes you just need that somebody to pray with, because God said, well, one or two of us come together, he hears our prayers. I got such a peace that came over me when you and I prayed this week, Dr. Fletcher, that whatever was said, it quickly went away because I was standing in prayer with my prayer partner, with the prayer partner. You got to have somebody that you can call, and not your girlfriend who just want to go to the mall. You got to call somebody who know the word and somebody who's going to stand with you in prayer.
Amen.
Because it's real. The struggle is real. And you can easily get caught up in the struggle. Don't get caught up in the struggle. Let the struggle disperse. And that's the only way it disperses is when you stand on the word and you got somebody that to pray with. And man, if you don't know Jesus, if you ain't got Jesus in your life, good luck with that. Because I can't even imagine Dr. Fletcher doing this life without Jesus in my life. I cannot even imagine it.
We're over our time, long big time, but I can't either. And won't be without him. You know what I'm saying? But we can do part two of this, but yeah, this is good. I just don't want it to cut off on us. It's just mothers and daughters, we giving it to you. That's straightforward. I think you got it. You need us. You know, we're here. You can go to matriarchnow.com, send us a message, and we'll respond. Thank you, Cynthia. Good word.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Blessings. Love you. Love you.
You've been listening to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. If you'd like to make a love offering to support the show, go to AskDrBessie.com and click on the donate button and show your support. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Make sure to tune in every Saturday at 10 a.m. for the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher, better known as Dr. Bessie. See you next Saturday at 10 a.m.
All right. So good to do it twice.
All right. Love you.
Praise the Lord. Love you. Have a good one. I'll talk to you later. Bye, audience.
All right.
Have
love you. Bye-bye, audience.
Remember, do not faint.
Amen. All right, darling. We'll talk later. Love you.